quick. Run for your life. It's the Loot Mechanics Podcast. Beerless and Skolmas have returned from beyond space and time to wreak havoc upon all they survey while chatting sarcastically about video and tabletop gaming. With snark and poorly thought out hot takes, they may bring even the strongest man to their knees, shattering even the most stalwart sanity. Run while you still can.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Skolmas.
And I'm Beerless.
So, what's been up with you this week?
Lots of work, lots of overtime. No surprise, it's flipping hot out.
Yes. And basically, this last weekend, we've been hitting all-time records all over the state. I mean, we're in the Pacific Northwest. It's supposed to get this hot in June.
Not normally.
No. But here we are. We're recording, well, as your folks are listening to this, last Sunday. The forecasted temperature this afternoon is 113. Now, I was born in Tucson, but I only lived in Arizona for 3 years. I don't do hot. So, yeah, I'm not a thrilled person.
Well, they said that if it actually hits those highs, Oregon will be right up there with Death Valley, the Persian Gulf, and a couple other hot spots around the country, around the world, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun. That's not supposed to happen up here. And what's worse is that we just had massive wildfires just last year. I mean, we have some wildfires every year, but a good portion of the state was on fire last September. And we're on the threshold of having it worse this year.
Uh-huh.
Ten Knife and I are supposed to go camping next weekend.
Well, let's just hope your campsite doesn't burn down.
Yeah, already there's no fires allowed. So, I mean, I'm fine with that. It's forecast to be 90 to 100 degrees the entire time we're up there on the mountain. So, why would we want to go sit by another heat source?
Well, the thing is, yeah, they can say, oh, no open burnings and no campfires, but they're not going to stop idiots with fireworks.
Yeah, and well, that's why we go out there, is it's 30 miles from anywhere. And at the campground, it's zero tolerance. If you light off fireworks, they throw you out and you don't get a refund for your fees. So there are no fireworks out there. In the distance, you might hear the occasional redneck gunshot, and there's thunderstorms up on the mountain. That's about it. So it's a perfect place to take our dogs. And I'm very much looking forward to it. Assuming that the area doesn't catch on fire and it gets canceled. So, yay.
Yay.
Anyway, shall we move? We have two really great topics this week. So shall we move on?
Sure.
Okay.
The main topic.
Okay, so Beerless, our first topic today is something that you've established in the past many times. You literally give zero shits about. And that's Secret World Legends.
That could be quite a few things.
Well, yes, yes. Actually, it was going to be Lord of the Rings Online, because I had a great idea for that. But no, this is better and a little more topical. We need to talk Secret World Legends today.
Yay.
Yeah, no, it's really important.
I'm sure it is.
As you know, I love me some Secret World Legends. I was a pre-order lifetime subscriber of the original Secret World. You know, bought the Grandmaster set. So I get all those benefits straight through, even into the follow-up game, Secret World Legends, which I also enjoy. And so I'm a backer. I love the Secret World, the whole thing. But I'm not a huge fan of Funcom, the company that runs the game, because they're not very good about supporting Secret World Legends. It's been like 2 years since they've updated the game in any meaningful way.
And you're surprised why?
Well, no, because there is a community to the game. It has a lot of people playing it. There's reason to support it. But they just don't? Oh, no. They say they do. They're just taking the world's longest time to get content out. But they're really good about turning on events. Holiday events.
Well, because that makes them money.
Stuff like that. Yeah, they turn events on and off. And one of those events is, of course, the anniversary event. Well, we're currently in the middle of the 4th anniversary of Secret World Legends. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I misspoke. The 9th anniversary of the Secret World. I still have not forgotten how our 5th anniversary gift for the Secret World was the release of Secret World Legends and them effectively shutting, you know, putting the original game in complete maintenance mode. You can still play it. They just won't update it or turn on events or do anything with it. It literally sits there doing nothing. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just a little bitter. One thing that the community has always done, there's a very strong community in Secret World Legends. The Secret World's always had a strong community, especially for role players. But one thing they've always done is concurrently with the official anniversary, various content creators, the streamers and YouTubers and whatnot, along with prominent members of the community, have always gotten together and run what they call the Megaversary. It's a bunch of player-created content, different events and activities and whatnot, parties in-game, races, hunts, all kinds of stuff, to basically add more celebration to the anniversary, right? And this year is no different. The 4th Megaversary is going on right now. And that's awesome. In many ways, the Megaversary has had more interesting content to do than the actual official anniversary content in Secret World Legends. And, you know, that always struck me, it bugged me a little bit, but you know what? It's fine. It's a way, because these anniversaries are celebrating the game, but also the community. And if the community is having big parties, then what's the problem with that, right? That would seem fairly reasonable. But something changed this year. I believe it was a couple weeks ago. We had a prominent member of the Secret World community pass away. Someone named Hollow Point in game. And I don't remember ever interacting directly with Hollow Point, but they were very instrumental in setting up the Megaversaries. All of them, up until this year, obviously. And so when word came down just recently that Hollow Point had passed away, it was a pretty big blow to the community. And yeah, people immediately went to Funcom and asked them, hey, can you do something to celebrate Hollow Point in game? Because literally the anniversary is right here, right? This would be the perfect time for it, considering all they've done with the Megaversaries. This would be the time to give people a chance to grieve, to celebrate Hollow Point's life, while celebrating the game that they loved so much. That would seem a reasonable and, I don't know, decent thing to do, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, do you think that's the sort of thing that Funcom would do?
Of course not, because it's Funcom. Decent isn't in their vocabulary.
No. I don't think they're not decent. What I think is that they completely screwed the pooch. Now, the anniversary comes with, this is reading off of Massively Overpowered's article about this. Things that they have are daily login bonuses. Oh, wait, we get those all the time with different events. Item discounts. Hey, go to the store and spend money. The anniversary cash. That's a loot box. And returning event content like the Behemoth, the Shards of Corruption, and the Talos of Gaia, which are different little events that can be done. All right, that's fine. What about Hollow Point? I mean, because remember, there's the Megaversary going on the same time, and so there's all these player parties and whatnot going on. What are you doing for Hollow Point? Well, apparently they put out a post regarding what they're going to do. And it says that Funcom, the devs are, quote, exploring their options on how they can honor his legacy as a part of the secret world itself. And apparently more details on how that in-game tribute will work when they're available. Now,
oh, that means they're not doing Jack.
Not right now.
Probably not ever.
Now, it's entirely possible that they're going to add an NPC into the game or put in some sort of monument, put a, you know, something in game to memorialize Hollow Point. And that's fine. And sure, maybe that takes some time. But we do know that community managers and devs can run basically dev events in game. They can do all kinds of different stuff in game. They could have done something as part of the Megaversary to make a big deal about this, to help people grieve, to honor Hollow Point in the moment when it was most needed. And instead, they're letting that moment pass in favor of hand-waving it off and saying, okay, we'll get to it. Just like they've been hand-waving off, oh, Congo's coming. We'll get the next zone out. Don't worry. It's only been coming for a year and a half. Don't worry. It's coming. We're working on it, really. We'll put out new content eventually. I mean, what is the point of putting out some sort of NPC or whatever when it doesn't matter anymore? Are they going to wait till the fifth Megaversary? I mean, that's basically waiting over a full year. Or are they just going to put it in at whenever they get in some new event, whenever they do finally put Congo in, whenever they put in a real update to the game? Oh, it's somewhere in the patch notes. Hey, we put in an NPC named Hollow Point that you can go talk to here. Great. Thanks. Seriously, Funcom, what the fuck? I know people will say that they have a small team. Funcom is a small company. They just don't have the funds or the staff to do this sort of thing. Bullshit. They're owned by Tencent, and they've been owned by Tencent for nearly a year. They have the resources. They could have done something in the short term while pumping out content and a permanent, you know, thing in game later. And people would have been happy with that. I'm sure people would have been perfectly thrilled with that. But instead, nah, we'll just, we'll get to it when we get to it. Don't worry. Hey, enjoy the Megaversary. Oh, we mean our event and also the Megaversary. Because literally the in-game anniversary is effectively just trying to get you to sell stuff and log in every day, which brings up their numbers and makes it seem like, oh boy, this is real popular. People really like the non-content we're giving them. That'll sell well to the investors. And look, I love Secret World, as I said. Secret World Legends, fun game. I really enjoy it. It's challenging. I love the IP. It's a great setting and whatnot. I just wish currently that anybody but Funcom was running this game. We need a development team that actually is doing something with this game and a community management team that gives a fuck. After everything Hollow Point did for their community, especially when the game's been flagging the last 2 years, and they just hand wave his death away. Now, obviously, this is as of our recording. It's possible that maybe they've been cowed into doing something in the last few days. It has been a few days since we recorded, between, you know, us recording and you hearing this. Fine. Maybe they finally have knuckled under and done something. If so, great. If not, shame on you, Funcom.
More on that is, they shouldn't have to be shamed into doing it. It should just be, oh wow, one of our, you know, community leaders, one of the people of, you know, note, who's been, you know, a cheerleader for this game for all this time, has passed. They should just be doing something, not just, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to their family.
Exactly. That's effectively what they did. They thoughts and prayered Hollow Point in the community.
What works for the gun lobby?
I know this isn't exactly endearing me to Funcom or their community management team, but
do
at this
you
point,
care?
No, not anymore.
Because really, why be nice to them if it's been a year and a half and they still haven't completed an update?
No, it's actually been two. It was supposed to have come out like a year and a half ago.
That just makes it worse.
Yeah.
2 years, they haven't done dick, they don't intend to do dick. Give up.
Oh.
Uninstall and just don't support Funcom in any way, shape, or form.
But it gets worse. The content update, the last one that we actually got, South Africa, is like the smallest zone that they've put out. There's almost no content to it. It just flies by. And Congo is supposed to be the follow-up to that. And it promised, oh, it's going to be super awesome. Crickets for 2 years.
And why are you surprised? You've seen the stripes. You know what it is. Why are you surprised?
Well, I'm surprised because this game does have a thriving community, especially in the RP community. They know they've got something here, right? And all they're doing is basically using the players as ATMs, driving them to the store, get them to spend money. When they're more concerned with working on their Dune MMO and the Conan games that they have. Tencent owns Funcom. They have the money. They have the resources to hire all the developers they need and get them on board to work on all of their IP, including Anarchy Online and Secret World Legends. They could be pumping out all kinds of good stuff. I'm not expecting it like immediately, but they could have been doing that. Instead, all they ever talk about to their investor calls, the quarterly investor reports, is Dune and Conan.
And then they mention that
Secret World Legends is a thing that exists. They may even mention that it has strong player interactions and whatnot. Well, that's great. How about content? How about actually having a soul and recognizing when somebody, an important person in the community who has gone out of their way to support this game, when they pass? Not with just some, you know, monument in game and a line in a future update, you know, in their the list of different things that drop in the content. Not just that, but actually do something meaningful.
Again, you're expecting the leopard to change his spots.
Maybe.
Garbage company is garbage company.
I just think that, though, because Funcom used to be so much more than this.
Used to be.
I gotta say, it's heartbreaking, man.
Oh, sure.
But, my first MMO was Anarchy Online.
Right. But what you have to understand is they are owned by Tencent. Tencent is huge. Why? Because they know how to make money. And if they don't see profit in putting any effort into this and just, you know, letting it do its thing and make what they can off of it, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I get
Funcom, they just want to keep Tencent happy so that Tencent will invest in other IPs that they intend to produce.
Yeah.
Secret World Legends is done.
It may as well be. I mean, 2 years without a content update. Anyway, so for my fellow Secret World Legends players, for all those who knew Hollow Point and miss him, it's for his family and friends. I didn't know him personally, but I am sorry that he's gone, and I wish you all well, and I hope you're all doing okay with this. So, which that little line is better than what Funcom's done.
Tabletop gaming news.
So, Bielus,
yes,
there was a story that popped up recently, and I thought it'd be a really good feel. Good story to talk about today. An old school, basically legend of tabletop role playing coming back and with a new game. And oh, I was super excited about it. I've already pre-ordered their game. And I was like, this is going to be so cool to talk about. Such a good, feel good story to talk about. And yeah, that's not how it worked out.
No, it's not. I wish I would have known that you'd pre-ordered.
Yeah. So, we're talking about TSR, which, for those of you who are play tabletop role-playing games, that's Tactical Studies Rules. That's the original company that made Dungeons & Dragons, which was eventually bought out by Wizards of the Coast. And just now, a team including E. Gary Gygax, the junior not the original, have come back and they've made, or in the process of making, a OSR post-apocalyptic fantasy science fiction role-playing game called Giantlands. And so the minute I heard about this, I was like, oh, look at that. Oops, I fell and pre-ordered the game. Because, you know, it's TSR, so of course I pre-ordered Giantlands. Sight unseen. But the last week, the defecation has hit the air conditioner regarding this company. And when you mentioned to me during the pre-show, BLS, you said, have you heard the latest thing about TSR? And I'm like, oh, you mean the Star Frontiers thing? Because Star Frontiers is a science fiction game that was originally out from TSR in the 80s. I owned it. I loved it. I've recently bought a new copy of it, print on demand from DriveThruRPG, because Wizards of the Coast is selling it there, along with a lot of the old TSR stuff that they own the rights to. But apparently, the new TSR has trademarked the name Star Frontiers. But all the IP for the original game is still copyright, is owned by Wizards of the Coast. So if they reboot Star Frontiers, which apparently they're going to work on, it can't be anything like the original Star Frontiers. So wait, what? And they meant, someone asked them about, what about Wizards of the Coast? And they said, we'll let the legal team deal with legal things. So I'm like, what? Are you're a little tiny company. You think you can stand up to not only Wizards of the Coast, but Hasbro? Are they smoking things in Wisconsin? I'm not sure where that. So I was confused by that, and I was feeling a little, there was some concern in the community, I should say, the tabletop role-playing community, if this is very scammy, that there's something awry going on in Lake Geneva.
If they take all your money and then they get, you know, legal slammed and they lose all that money fighting legal fees, then oops, sorry.
Right.
They don't have to pay any money back.
Yeah. So that's a thing, right? That's an issue. Not a fan. But, you know, I can kind of overlook that.
That wasn't what I was mentioning.
No, would you like to mention what you came across?
Well, I didn't see a whole lot of, you know, hard evidence. You know, I was just going through the internet and I saw some comments from E. Gary Gygax, the third, and...
apparently it's Junior, not the third.
Well, okay, whatever. But it was just... he's saying some things that, you know, go against my core principles, you know. I think everybody has a right to exist and be the way they are. But he's, you know, making comments about, you know, transphobe or transgender people. And he's making other comments that are just, you know, wow, I can't see TSR lasting very long with that kind of response in today's society. I mean, he caged it under this whole, you know, bringing everything back to the way it used to be, you know, where, you know, men were men and women were women and monsters were evil. And that's a really stupid, simplistic way to put it.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, surprised. And then I saw Luke Gygax. He's the Gygax family member that I see more often than not, because he's the one who's been, you know, going to Gen Cons, and he's been going to cons trying to, you know, rally support around D&D, you know.
Yeah, he actually runs Gary Con.
And it was, you know, I kind of like him. I think, you know, he may not be the best person in the world, but he seems to really have a love for the game. And the stuff I'd been reading about, you know, the other Gygax, it seemed really sketchy because one of the guys he has in his, you know, working for him, he's shady as shit. And I kind of lost all of my nostalgia for TSR at that point.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you started looking into it and you found a whole lot more.
Yeah. It's just what I think this really, where'd that go? I hit the wrong thing. Yeah. What I first came across is, you know, went to Twitter, right? And Luke Gygax, apparently there was a lot of tweets back and forth, and it looks like most of them have been deleted. Luke Gygax made a point of saying, FYI, I'm not involved with any TSR company, nor is Gary Kahn, nor anyone else in my family outside of Ernie. Full stop, that is all. And he goes on to say, everyone is welcome at GaryCon, just don't be a jerk. Reasonable.
Right.
Well, then I go to Ernie Gary Gygax Jr.'s Twitter. And I see that first thing, it looks like right at the top, and this is literally just an hour ago as of our recording. So this is Sunday morning. Right? I guess Sunday afternoon back in Wisconsin or wherever. And, well, I guess I should go back to Saturday, where E. Gary Gygax Jr. said, I told my mom this is all her fault. I was raised with Christian values. Ah, well. Which, of course, there was a firestorm about that. And a lot of, you know, insults being thrown around and, it was, it seems like, from what people are saying, that Gygax just couldn't stop poking the bear, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this morning, as of our recording, TSR officially says, I'll read their whole statement. This is from Justin Lanasa, CEO of the new TSR. I guess we have to differentiate that. There was the old TSR that no longer exists, and it belongs to Wizards of the Coast and all that IP. And then there's the new TSR, which is a thing that exists. Anyway, their statement about this Twitter fight that apparently happened on Saturday. We here at TSR are very passionate about gamers and gaming. We don't mean to offend or attack anyone, and appreciate all the feedback we've been getting from fans near and far. When confronted with disinformation, we have defended ourselves. Our message is very clear, and always has been. Everyone is welcome at our gaming table. We will not tolerate rude, hateful, or disrespectful people or bots. You will be banned, blocked, and ignored. We ask our fans to do the same and stop fueling the lies and start focusing on the future. We do appreciate your support. The slander and misrepresentations are deplorable, hurtful, and yes, disgusting for both my team, our heritage, and this fine art form all people love. Thanks for joining us in the journey and bringing TSR back. Justin Lanasa, CEO. Immediately, someone responds, have you apologized to Meg for the comments you've made on your official accounts and denounced your CEO's comments? And what they mean by that was Meg the Sorceress had posted previously on Twitter, could you please directly expand upon the comments made by Ernie Gygax about gender identity? Does this company support transgender people? And TSR's official Twitter account, which is where Justin was posting from during that apology, quote unquote apology, said, expand? Ernie made no such comments. Please stop trolling us. Thank you. Which is interesting, because in response to TSR's quote unquote apology, this is what Ernie Gygax had to say in response. Quote, Justin is right about this. I do apologize to any and all communities and persons I offended. I had no such intent and wish we could stop it because it's hurting people. My life has been colorful. I love to laugh and more so love to play TTRPG. Happy Sunday. So wait, what? Wait. So Ernie did no such thing. There was disinformation that Ernie said things about, made homophobic comments or transphobic comments and things like that. But he just apologized for doing that.
That's not an apology. That's just he's just trying to don't look behind the curtain.
Well, he did technically say, I do apologize to any and all communities and persons I offended.
Not yes, but then he went on to say them. That I'm just a quirky person.
Yeah.
Ignore what I say.
Of course, let's
no,
not
you're
forget.
An asshole.
He also said, I told my mom this is all her fault. I was raised with Christian values. So it's all pushing away. It's not my fault. It's your fault. You were offended.
I know.
I have deeply held Christian beliefs, which you're all weirdos and bad people. And just because I'm sorry you were offended by the things I said. That's what that says to me. Uh-huh. You know what it also says to me? I gave these fuckers $80 and I'm still trying to figure out how to cancel my pre-order.
Wish you luck.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to, get my order number and contact them and say, hey, I need to cancel this pre-order. I can't support your company. But technically, they have apologized. But the more I read it, both TSR's quote-unquote apology and Ernie Gygax's apology, quote-unquote, neither of them are apologies.
Well, you kind of have to have, sincerity, and I didn't read sincerity in any of that.
Exactly. I almost wish he hadn't brought that to my attention, because I was really looking forward to what they were going to put out, being a huge... We started with TSR products.
I know.
Back in the 70s.
But this isn't that TSR.
Exactly. There's a Gygax involved. But I really wish it was Luke Gygax instead of Ernie. Yeah. Larry Elmore's involved doing artwork. Larry Elmore does a lot of artwork for a lot of people. That doesn't mean, just because he's contracted to work for them doesn't mean that it's going to make a good game. Just means it's Larry Elmore art, which I love. Don't get me wrong. I used to have a Paladin poster on my wall as a teenager that he painted the original painting for. Wow. I have a recommendation on this company's Facebook page that I put on there, saying I was really excited about what they had coming out. And now I'm going to have to remove that recommendation.
Yeah.
Even if I can't get rid of, can't cancel the pre-order, even if they take my money and I never get the product, at least I can remove that recommendation. In fact, I think I'm going to have to do that as we speak.
Didn't you use a credit card?
Yeah, I did. But I have to go through the steps of trying to...
Try to get it canceled. If they won't cancel it, then go to your credit card company.
Yeah. See. Yeah, I had posted an iconic TTRPG brand come back to life with some familiar names behind their new products. TSR was the engine that drove tabletop role-playing to become the force that it is now in gaming, and I cannot wait to see what they have up their sleeves this time.
That came to a screeching halt.
Delete post. So much for that. Which is unfortunate because, yeah, like I said, I was excited.
Well, yeah, and I understand your excitement. It's kind of like a lot of these old, you know, video games, you know, the remembrance of how much fun it was way back when.
Yeah.
And now you play it and it's kind of like, I just don't like it anymore. Eh.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate situation. But hey, yeah, that's a thing that occurred. So I came here. My intention was to push, hey guys, go check out TSR, the new company, and they've got a game that they're, you know, doing pre-orders for. It's supposed to deliver in August. We'll see what happens with that. And, you know, rah, rah, let's, you know, jump on board this and support them and good times. Yeah.
Didn't quite work out that way.
Yeah. Well, do you remember, I don't know, it was a few months ago, we talked about that one dice company that the owner of which made some very it was like homophobic and whatnot, very far right. And people were saying he basically was supporting Nazis. Mm. Well, a friend of ours, Domina, had already gotten in on his Kickstarter and was basically locked in on that. So she was asking, you know, well, shoot, you know, she was stuck with these products. She had planned to give them away as gifts later in the year. You know, she had kind of felt bad having supported this guy without knowing. Well, now I feel like I'm in a much similar situation because Ernie Gygax, notice I don't say Gary Gygax Jr. I'll just call him Ernie. Ernie is the creative supervisor for Giantlands, which is the game I pre-ordered. And that means he's directly responsible and connected to that game. And that really makes me totally not want to play his game. Not to be all negative about him or anything, but, you know, shit, dude. I mean, you're in a business, all right? It's okay to have your own, you know, politics and everything, right? You keep that stuff separate from your business.
Well, it doesn't make good sense to buck the culture.
Right.
You know, the majority of the people out there are in support of LGBTQ, you know, all of that. And yet you open your gob and basically kick the legs out of underneath your fledgling company while you're still trying to collect pre-orders for a game that you haven't released yet.
During Pride Month. Wow. I mean, I know people that are in the Ren Faire community, right? And I know some of them are completely, they're very right-leaning, and I'm not. But we get along because we're both, you know, what are we there for? Fair, right?
Right.
I may be vendors or entertainers or whatever at fair. I'm a patron. I want to throw money at performers and vendors at fair. So we get along because when it comes to that, we don't talk politics. They know how I feel. I know how they feel. And it doesn't matter because they're not being disrespectful and I'm not being disrespectful. Everybody gets along. But if your company is, literally just out of the gate in the last month or so, and you basically it's one thing for you being a guard and taking an arrow to the knee. He shot him, his own company, in the knee.
Huh?
Now, does that mean they won't recover? No, of course they might. They absolutely could. I mean, I'm not saying he needs to grovel, but the man probably needs to have some, you know, sensitivity training at the very least.
Well, and the thing is I don't think the community's going to embrace TSR as long as Ernie has anything to do with it. He needs to go, period.
Yeah, the thing is, I haven't seen his full, you know, the full discussion where he and Luke were going at it and others. I haven't seen all that because apparently a lot of those have been deleted, a lot of those posts, or privated or something. So I don't know how bad it got, but if it did indeed get pretty bad, yeah, absolutely. But then part of the problem is without a Gygax involved with TSR, they lose a huge amount of the cachet they had with the old school revival community. It's one thing to be call yourself TSR. It's another thing to call yourself TSR and have a Gygax as a creative director and vice president. So kind of a sticky wicket, especially when they went out of their way to say it was all disinformation and that people saying these things about him were trolls and that he never said those things. And it almost feels like they are wanting to, you know, sabotage their own company, but we'll see. I need to go look into how to freaking cancel a pre-order with them.
Yeah. I'd get it done as quick as possible because I don't know how much longer they're going to be around.
Oh, that's my plan.
Wrapping things up.
Okay, Biela, so that's about it for this week. Do you have anything else you'd like to add before we go?
I'm still irritated about TSR, sorry. No, the only thing I wanted to mention was E3 recently came and went, and one of the things I saw that kind of got my hype meter up was the fact that Starfield announced their launch date, and that was 11/11 of 22.
Yeah.
So we've got more than a year before it's going to launch, but I'm hoping that they don't fuck it up. You know, come on. One of the things they did say is that they're going back to their old school roots of making quality single player open world games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what most of their fans are screaming for. So here's to hoping that they're actually going to follow through on that.
Yeah. Now, I did see that Starfield gave a release date, and that's fine. I don't expect it to actually come out then. I think 2023 is probably more realistic, and maybe they'll actually have Xbox Series X's available for the stand, you know, for people to just buy, instead of buying them from scalpers, because it's going to take one of those or a powerful ass PC to play this game. But their announcement told me one other thing that I haven't heard anybody else talk about. If Starfield isn't coming out until late 2022 at the earliest, and most of their Bethesda's resources are going into that, how long will it be until Elder Scrolls 6?
Oh, probably a long, long time.
I'm guessing 2025.
Could be.
I know a lot of people go, well, no, it could be 2023, maybe even, or maybe they'll put it out early. No, no, Sparky, they won't. Starfield is coming first. They made it very clear Starfield is their priority and that they were just starting on Elder Scrolls 6. When it got announced, it was in the earliest of pre-production. It's going to be at least a year, if not 2 years, after Starfield comes out. Because they're going to have to then ramp team members over from Starfield to Elder Scrolls 6 and, you know, build up that team. And even if they use the same exact engine, it's a whole different type of game. I mean, science fiction as opposed to fantasy. It's kind of a massive change. So, yeah. Sorry, Elder Scrolls fanboys, but Bethesda just bent you over. You won't be seeing your beloved Elder Scrolls 6 for quite some time.
Yeah. You're kind of foolish if you expect it.
The thing is, the minute they mentioned it, people were going, because they brought it, it first got initially announced in 2020, if I remember right. And people were already saying, oh, 2021, maybe 2022. Yeah, no. Then again, they thought Starfield would be out this autumn. Yeah, no. That E3 announcement about Starfield was a huge bucket of ice water on the heads of Elder Scrolls fans around the world. Or at least it should have been. They may have been too busy slathering over Starfield to notice. But yeah, no Elder Scrolls anytime soon for you. Just saying.
Well, when I saw there was some in-game footage, I mean, it was just like so early. It was just, it looked like, oh, they got a long, long way to go.
Starfield or
no,
Elder
for
Scrolls?
Skyrim, or Elder Scrolls 6, sorry.
Yeah.
And it was just, I don't see how anybody could see that and think, oh no, it's coming this year. No.
Dude, it's Bethesda. No, they think Bethesda's magic.
Goddamn way away.
Yeah. By the time Starfield comes out, I'll probably have a new computer that'll be able to run it. But especially by the time Elder Scrolls comes out, I will definitely have a new computer that will be able to run it. I'm not actually super excited about Starfield. I mean, don't get me wrong. If it'll run on my machine, I'll buy it, but I'm not in a huge hurry. I'll wait till all the bugs are cleared out because...
Oh, yeah, me too.
It's Bethesda. There will be bugs. I mean, there are still bugs in Skyrim.
The way I see it, with any developer, don't buy the game immediately. Doesn't matter how good of a name they've got, it's gonna be a shit show. I mean, Cyberpunk, anybody?
Yeah.
Shit show. So, nope, I don't intend to buy it immediately. I'll wait till they've got the bugs worked out to a point where it's playable.
Yeah. I mean, hell, I waited around 3 years before buying a Switch. I think I can wait a year or so until Starfield comes around to, like a Steam sale, you know? Maybe the Game of the Year edition or something comes out. Oh, look, all the DLC and the bugs are mostly fixed. Woo! That's how I got Skyrim. Both times.
I love how you have to add in that both times.
Everybody's bought Skyrim at least twice.
Oh, I bought it for me and I bought one for my wife. That's it.
Yeah. Well, see, I bought it for my computer and I bought it on my Switch. So, I mean, it was a good deal for the Switch, so I might as well, right?
Well, the only reason I bought a second copy of it is because I wanted to play it, and my wife wanted to play it, and she couldn't play it if I was playing it. Yeah. So I got her own copy.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Hey, family harmony.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Anyway, so that's all I got.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. So until next time, I'm Squirmus.
And I'm Billis.
Generic catchphrase ending.
You didn't listen, did you? Now, look at you. You are an absolute mess. But at least you survived to gibber and moan before our masters and overlords, Beerless and Scummers. Be sure to tremble under their baleful eye as you give this podcast a great review on the podcast service of your choice, or leave a nice comment over on their website, scummy.com. While you are there, check out all the other content they offer, and don't forget to join the Discord server. If you don't, they will know, and they will seek vengeance.